your knees. We're going to pray as we begin tonight's lesson, or this morning's lesson. Father God, I thank you so much for the privilege of getting to be here and singing that wonderful song. Thank you for the salvation that was provided through Jesus Christ. And God, you know those who are here today, right now. You know the minds of each one of these young people here. And you know that some of them, right now, they are on their way to hell. And I pray that today you would open their eyes, that they would see the wonderful truth of Jesus Christ and Him crucified so that they might go to heaven. And I pray that they'd be saved today. God, work in their hearts, draw them to yourself, put away distractions from them, whether it's just their neighbor or whatever it may be. I pray that you would open our eyes to behold the wonderful things from your word, and may your name be magnified today as we study how we get to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. Go ahead and have a seat. Okay, who can tell me, raise your hand, who can tell me what the theme of this week is? Wait, go ahead. Inside out, that's right. Here you go. Catch, or not. All right. Who can tell me what we are naturally? Right there. What? Rotten bread. Here, come. I'll let you come pick one. I won't throw one at you. Here, come pick one. They get all excited because they think I have all this candy to give out. I only have one more question. So who can tell me what needs to happen to our moldy hearts? Way in the back in the pink. I'm guessing you said it. Come on up and get it. Did she say the right answer? Yes? Okay, come on up. What did you say?
I said to be forgiven.
That's right. All right, here you go. There you go. Thanks so much. All right. There will be more candy in the next one. But so tonight, or this morning, it leads us to our second lesson, and we're going to ask the question, and you see it right there, how can I get there? How can I get there? Last night I talked about how many of you used to have moldy hearts and you need to be saved or you need to be born again. So when I say there, I'm referring to heaven. Because in the Bible we find out that there are two places that people go after they die. Because every single one of us here are going to die at some time. Isn't that exciting news? You're like, come on, you're a horrible preacher. Why would you tell me we're going to die? But the reality is every single person who is born over 100 years ago, I'll say 200 years because there are some people over 100 years. They're dead now, aren't they? Where do you guys think you'll be? And I want you to think about this question seriously. In 150 years, where will you be? In 150 years, where will you be? The reality is you'll either be in heaven or in hell. And Scripture describes heaven as a place where there's no more sorrow, no more pain, no more night, no more sadness. There's no more sin. And so it's a place of eternal joy. And then hell is described as a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. How many of you know what gnashing of teeth is? What is it? Fighting at each other? Nope. Someone else. Gnashing of teeth. In the back. Blue shirt. Yeah, grinding your teeth. Have you ever been in so much pain that you're just like, oh, have you ever been like that? There was one time, I'll tell you what, the person who caused that pain is in here today. There was one time where I was fishing and I got a fish hook up into my finger. Okay, and it went up and it had a barb, and we had to cut it off and try to pull it out. And I was sitting there like this, and my sister was sitting on my legs, and I'm bouncing my legs because I'm in so much pain. And that guy right there in the blue shirt, his name's Steven, he took needle nose pliers and he just grabbed the hook and he went, I'm sorry, and he just ripped it out of my hand. And I went, ah, and I just started bawling because it was out of my finger, so it felt better. But that's the idea, that hell is actually a place of constant gnashing of teeth, of constant pain. It describes it in Scripture as the lake of fire. You have the lake of fire. If you've ever been burned, just imagine that for all of eternity. And the reality is, when I say that, I'm not just simply trying to scare you. The reality is, I don't want any of you to go there. I really don't. We're having a great time this weekend. I've met a whole bunch of you, and I've liked almost all of you that I've met. I'm not supposed to say that, am I? We were having a good time, but I want to spend all of eternity with all of you guys. And so if any one of you are on your way to hell, I want to tell you how you can get there. And so that is our topic for tonight. And so we talked about being born again, and today we're going to talk about how we can be born again. How can we get to heaven? Now, before we jump into Scripture, I have a challenge for you guys. I want you to imagine that I am God, and the stage here up. We'll just count up here. So everything past the steps. This is heaven, okay? I am God and this is heaven. And I want to see how many of you can get to me, but there are a couple of rules. Number one rule, you cannot touch the ground. Number two rule, you cannot jump. Number three rule, you cannot have your partner or your person next to you throw you. So ready? In three, two, one, get to me. Oh, you touch the ground. You touch the chairs. Can't step on the chairs because you can't jump. You're on the ground. You're touching the ground. You're touching the ground. You're touching the ground. It's on the ground. It's on the ground. All right, everyone sit down. Everyone sit down. You're on the ground. Yeah, it is. You're on the ground. Your coat's on the ground. Now, you're on the ground. You're on the ground. And you can't touch your friend, remember? Sorry, that was the other rule. Sorry. Okay. None of you guys were able to get to me because of the rules I put down, right? If I just said, come to me, you would just walk up here and you'd be able to get to me. But that leads us to our first point. Number one, I can't get to heaven or be born again in my own strength. I can't get to heaven or be born again in my own strength. I wouldn't let you jump up here. I wouldn't let you step on your coats and walk up here. I wouldn't let you have your friend bring you up here because you can't get to heaven in your own strength. Look at Romans chapter 3. Turn to the book of Romans chapter 3. If you don't know where Romans is, it's in the New Testament. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts and the letter, and Romans. 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. So if you're in either one of those, you're too far. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. I can't get to heaven or be born again in my own strength. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Look at what it says. It says here, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. According to those verses, how many of us are good enough on our own? None, right? Zero, absolutely none of us are good on our own. But now jump down to verses 19 through 20. Verses 19 through 20 says this, now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified or they won't be born again in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Now, some of you here may be saying, what in the world does that mean, that I'm not justified through the law? Basically, that is, God has set up rules for how to get to heaven, if you would, and the law actually shows us we can't get there on our own. The most common laws that we know of are the Ten Commandments. That's the most well-known laws in Scripture, and I have them up here for you. You ready? You shall not have any other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That's swearing. You should not work on the Sabbath. That's Saturday. Honor your father and mother. Next one. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor or lie. And you shall not covet. But I want you to stop and think, how many of you have done some of those things? How many of you have lied? Ever lied? Okay. How many of you ever stolen something? That counts cookie dough or food that your mom said you can't have. Now all of a sudden, all of our hands go up, right? And then some of you, if I asked you, how many of you have murdered? We got a couple hands. Call the cops. Some of you might know what I'm saying because Jesus says in the New Testament, hey guys, listen. Jesus says in the New Testament, if you hate your brother, it's murder in your heart. And so if you've ever hated someone, that's considered murder by Jesus. And so then all of a sudden, we now are murderers as well. And what that is meant to show us is that we can't get to heaven on our own. Now, how many of you think that I have broken some of these commandments? My brother says I have. The reality is, I have. I have broken some of these commandments, but just like my laws and my rules that you had to get to me without touching anything made it impossible for you to get to me on your own, so also God's laws make it impossible for us to get to him on our own. By simply trying to follow those, since we've all admitted that we sinned, we say, I can't get to heaven on my own. But now watch, I need a volunteer. And some of you are onto this. Stand up. Here. Come here. Oh, my word. You guys, I thought you'd be lighter. Okay. Stand. Stay there. I need another volunteer. Get on my back because you're too heavy to.
I'm more than 100.
It's easier on my back.
Okay.
All right. Now, you guys can sit down. You can sit down. Some of you guys were onto it. They knew where I was going with. Did these guys keep my laws? Yes, they did. They did. Because I came and I picked them up and brought them up here. And that leads, you guys can go sit down. Yeah, I guess you can have candy. See where your minds are. That leads us to point number two, kids. Point number two, Jesus came down from heaven to provide a way to God. Jesus came down from heaven to provide a way to God. Look at the truth in John chapter 1. Here it is. John chapter 1 verse 1 says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is that talking about? Just say it. Jesus. Jesus Christ is God, and he came down to earth so that we could come to God. You see, Jesus is God, and he came as a baby, and then he lived a perfect life, and he died on the cross so that you and I could get to God. Jesus says, the Bible says, in him was life, and it's talking about eternal life, because Jesus is the way to heaven. Jesus came down from heaven and provides the way back to God. So just like I came down, because see, God is in heaven, and if I come down and get you, then you can come up here, right? And I could do that for every single one of you, but the point is, the only way that you can get up here and keep the laws are by me bringing you up here. And the only way you get to God, the only way you can be born again, is through Jesus Christ. So look at John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. You guys know these verses, but it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved. What are the last two words? Through him. And so I didn't step down there. I didn't come down and say, come on, guys, why can't you get to me? I came down so that you could come up here. And that's what Jesus Christ has done for us. Just like through me, you were able to come up here. It's only through Christ that you and I can go to heaven. But look at what John chapter 14, verse 6 says. Because lots of people, kids, the reality is as you grow up, people are going to tell you that you have to do works to get into heaven. You have to be religious to get into heaven. But look at what John chapter 14, verse 6 says. Jesus said, I am, what's the next word? The. How many ways? One. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except what? Through me. So there's the idea again that it's only through Jesus Christ that we can be saved. Because our sins separate us from God, but Jesus Christ died on the cross so that you and I can get to God, so that we can go to heaven. So we learn point number three, if I believe on Jesus Christ, I am born again. If I believe on Jesus Christ, I am born again. Say that with me. If I believe on Jesus Christ, I am born again. That's right. Look what John chapter 3, verse 18 says. It says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed on the name of the only Son of God. And then Acts chapter 16, verse 31 says this, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. What does saved mean? Born again, right? Saved means born again. You will go to heaven through believing. Look at the next verse. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be what? Saved. You will be saved. For with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Or for with the heart one believes and is justified. And with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What do these verses teach us is the way to be born again? Jesus. Someone said Jesus. That's right. We have to believe and place our trust in Jesus. Kids, I remember when I was born again. I was really young. I was younger than you guys. I was only 4 years old. And we had a big family, so my brother and I, he was six and I was four, and we're laying on the bottom bunk, we're getting ready for bed, and I'm like, man, I remember realizing that even at four, I deserved to go to hell. That because of my sins, because I'd broken God's commands, I deserved to go to hell. And that's a scary thing when you're a four-year-old. And so I asked my brother, I'm like, Micah, how can I be saved? How can I be saved? How can I go to heaven? And he quoted for me John chapter 3, verse 16. And I distinctly remember realizing Christ died for me. See, a lot of you, you were raised in the church. And I'm not telling you anything new today. You're like, Christ died for me. I know about the cross and everything like that. But Christ died for you. We often say Christ died for us. And he did, but Christ died for you. And when I realized that, I just cried out. I said, God, please forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and change my life. And I remember, this isn't true for everyone, and I remember it was like a weight was lifted off of me. And I look back, I'm like, I was only four. What weight was there? The weight of sin. I knew I was a sinner even at 4 years old, and I was so excited. I was like, I got to go tell my mom. Now remember, I'm on which bunk of a bunk bed? Bottom, that's right. So I'm laying down. I lay up, and I go, Mom! Can you guess what happened? I creamed my head. I mean, it was like, ma-bonk! Oh! And so I tell people today, God knocked it into my head that I was saved on that day. I walked away with a big old goose egg, but I still went and I told my mom that I had come to Christ as my Savior. I was so excited, and I got a massive goose egg, and it reminds me that that was the day that I was saved, where I gave my life to Christ. And for some of you here today, that's what you need. You need to be born again. And you don't need to get a goose egg with it, but you need to give your life to Christ. You need to recognize that Christ died for you. And you're born again by confessing to God that you're a sinner and then believing that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And so if you're sitting here and you want to be born again, but you still have questions like, I don't quite get it, that's okay. Go talk to your counselor. I'm going to stay up here after the service. Come talk to me if you have questions. But if you're ready to be born again, there are really just four things that you do. First, admit to him that you're a sinner, which you've already done. Admit to him that you're a sinner, but then ask him for forgiveness, ask him to save you from your sin, and ask him to take your unclean heart and give you a new heart or new life. And when you do that, you learn point number four, which is awesome. I love this, guys. Look at this. Once I have believed, I am born again. I become new. Once I have believed, I am born again. I become new. John chapter 1, verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12 says this. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. According to that verse, how many people who believe in Jesus become children of God? All of them. Do you think God wants his children with him in heaven? And guess what? Every single child of God gets to go to heaven. And so for those who believe, they get to go to heaven. And if you have put your faith in Christ now or you're going to, you are a child of God. And after you're a child of God, there's two passages we looked at yesterday, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and Romans chapter 6. But look at what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's born again, he is a what? New creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. And Romans chapter 6 says this. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We are buried with him in baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So once you receive Christ, you live in new life. So now that you're born again or a new loaf, you're supposed to walk in newness of life. And that's what we're going to talk about in the next session. But I want all of you to just bow your heads and close your eyes right now. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Bow your heads and close your eyes. No looking around. If after we talk today, you say, man, I realize I am a sinner and I need to be saved from my sin, would you just raise your hands? If you say, I need to be saved, every head bowed and every eye closed. You say, I need to be saved from my sins. All right, you can put your hands down. I encourage you to take time after this to go talk to your counselor. Come talk to me. But just admit to Christ that you're a sinner. Admit to him that you need him as your Savior and thank him that he came to die for you. Give your life to Christ today.